Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
To the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I'm your host, Jesse Tapia. And for today's show, boy, did the New England Patriots give me something to talk about. Can't believe it. The evil empire, the New England Patriots, are starting to implode from within. If this whole ESPN story is correct from what they published late last night, early this morning for those in the East Coast. And we'll talk about that in a few moments, but we're going to be talking, like I said, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to preview the wild card games going on this weekend, and then I'm going to do a segment where I talk about each current head coaching vacancy and pretty much rank them 1 through 5 now since John Gruden got a nice little contract. We'll talk about John Gruden and his contract and what it means for the rest of the NFL coaches too later on in the show. And then we'll talk about the national championship game on Monday between the Alabama Crimson Tide and Georgia Bulldogs. That's going to be a fun one to watch right there. I think I already know who's going to win that one. But like I say, yeah, we'll talk about that one later. So it's going to be a very fun show today. Really excited for the wild card games going on this weekend. The game I'm looking forward to most is the Atlanta Falcons and Los Angeles Rams game. That one right there, that has the most intrigue for me right there. So now we got to see if Atlanta's going to be able to show up and see if this young Rams team is going to be able to handle the playoff moment that they'll be in. Because this is going to be a first playoff game for Jared Goff. And it's going to be a first playoff game for Sean McVay, too. And I think Todd Gurley, too, obviously, since he hasn't been in the playoffs yet. So, I mean, you got a bunch of players on this Rams team that haven't been in this type of moment. And then you got an Atlanta Falcons team who just lost in the Super Bowl last year, but just really hasn't played up to their standards so far this year. Managed to get 10 wins, but like I said, we'll save the playoff talk for the next segment. But let's get into this New England Patriots situation that we got going on here. And this isn't like the first time like this has come out. Colin Cowherd on his, well, let's talk about the article that was published. All right, yeah, let's do that. So Seth Wickersham from ESPN, he's a senior writer on ESPN, the magazine, and he has an article published talking about how there's tension between Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Robert Kraft. It's more tension between Belichick and it's like Belichick's on one side, and then you got Brady and Kraft on another. All right, so there's tension between them. No tension between Kraft and Brady. It's tension between those two and then Belichick right there, if that makes any sense. I know I'm having a hard time explaining it, but yeah. So right now they're kind of at odds with each other. They've been, I guess, so far, like for most of the season. So the article comes out and it talks about how, first it talks about how Tom Brady's trainer, his personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, I don't know if anyone noticed earlier this season, Bill Belichick took away all his access to the team, pretty much had to fly on his own to the games, had no access to the team again. And he's not like a team employee or anything like that. He's just a guy that was working, like an outside guy working with the Patriots, you know. And Tom Brady has this place called the TB12 Center. It's you go and it's pretty much like a training facility. Like, pretty much what the Patriots would have, I guess, just outside of the Patriots. Like, it's that Guerrero guy's own thing. That's where Tom Brady goes to get his training done. Like, if he gets an injury or anything like that, that's where he goes, all right? So, yeah, Bill Belichick bans him or pretty much cuts him off from all that access and stuff like that, from, like, team records, medical records, and all that. And then I guess that the Bill Belichick and that Guerrero guy just really didn't like each other because of the fact that Guerrero would tell him to would tell Patriots players, not Tom, like Tom Brady does whatever he wants, but Guerrero would tell other Patriots players what to do instead of having those Patriots players listen to what Belichick would tell him or what the trainers would tell him. So the trainers from the Patriots would tell him one thing, and Guerrero would go out and say, no, no, that's not right. Come and do this, come and do that here or whatever. All right, and another problem that arose from Guerrero working so closely to the Patriots is that players, they were at odds with, you know what, do we go to our team trainers, like wide receivers specifically and people on the offense, I'm talking about, do we go and get our stuff looked at with the team provided trainers, but have Tom Brady possibly not happy about that because we're going with them, or do we go see Tom Brady's trainer and Guerrero at the TB12 Center and have Belichick frustrated at that? So they were pretty much, who do we want to be, like, they were torn between, like, who they were pleasing and who they weren't, I guess. That's what the article says. So yeah, that was a problem right there. And another problem that arose was the whole Jimmy Garoppolo trade, all right? Turns out, at least in this article from what it says, Belichick never wanted to trade Garoppolo, and he wanted Garoppolo to become the starter within the next couple of years, possibly even next year, all right? And we all know how Bill Belichick has this whole philosophy. If you're a player and you're getting old, it doesn't matter what you've done for the team, you'll get replaced, so that way the guy behind you can come out and play a whole lot better than what you're doing, all right? Like he said, I heard Teddy Bruschi talking earlier, and my point about Teddy Bruschi, he was talking about on ESPN how he's not surprised about how these problems are happening, and he believes them to be true. So, I mean, Teddy Bruschi is a guy who's been there before, and I'm sure he has contact with people in the Patriots staff, locker room, and all that. So, I mean, for Teddy Bruschi to come out and say, you know what, I believe these are true and all that, I mean, I feel like that gives even more confirmation to the story and makes it even more real. But, yeah, just going back to Teddy Bruschi, he was talking about on ESPN2 how Bill Belichick, I mean, Teddy Bruschi did a lot for that for that Patriots team at the linebacker position, but he said Bill Belichick drafted his replacement in Jerod Mayo with the 10th pick, and Bruschi knew what was going on and why it was happening. So, I mean, I think that this happened with Tom Brady, except Tom Brady wasn't okay with it. Tom Brady wasn't okay with the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo was there to replace him, and he wasn't okay with the fact that Belichick wanted Garoppolo to replace Brady within the next couple of years, and like I said, even possibly next year. So Robert Kraft comes and he sees that Brady's unhappy about it, but the article doesn't say that Brady went to Kraft directly. That's one thing too on social media between writers, fans, and everyone who's pretty much, because this is a big story right here. The Patriots even had to release a statement, and that's another thing too that I found kind of fishy from the Patriots, that they released a joint statement between the three and Robert Kraft, Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick. I know for a fact they didn't come up with that on their own or anything like that, or had any business with that. I know it was probably a PR guy from the Patriots, or PR girl guy or whatever from the Patriots that came up with that statement and just threw their names in there. And that's one thing, like I said, the PR statement, for them to put out a PR, like a statement about how the ESPN report is not true, kind of makes me feel like it's completely true. All right, because we've seen like little instances, like little problems brought up during press conferences, and Tom Brady. Oh yeah, like perfect example, like the Alex Guerrero situation this season. It got brought up, all right, and there was no joint statement about it or anything like that. Bill Belichick just said that, you know what, I'm not going to talk about an outside person who works with us because I have to talk about everyone else, and I'm just not going to get into it. And Tom Brady was talking about how it wasn't like it was a non-story or anything like that. He just didn't give it the time of day, okay? So the Patriots, when dealing with stories like this, they've never put out a statement really besides just shooting it down in press conferences, all right? And then for them to put out a joint statement between the three about how the story is fake and how they love each other and stuff like that, that just makes me think even more that, you know what, this ESPN report is completely true and there is problems going on behind the scenes. Because, I mean, for these guys to even address it, like I said, these guys don't address anything. Okay, they talk about, you want to talk about the football game, then they'll talk about the football game, but any outside noise or anything like that, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, they'll shut it down in a press conference and that's it. They don't release statements or anything like that. So I found it kind of odd for them to release a statement about this, but going back to the whole Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady situation thing that arose too, which pretty much made Belichick frustrated was that Belichick, like I said, he wanted to make Garoppolo the starter next year, and he understood that Garoppolo, this was the last year of his deal. So, I mean, he wanted to sign him to a long-term deal. And Tom Brady and Garoppolo, they have the same agent. So supposedly, like, there's so much going on right here. Like, this is the beginning of the end for the Patriots. I have no doubt about it. Like, this is the end of the dynasty right here. But Garoppolo and Brady, they have the same agent. All right. And the article says that Belichick, whoever runs it, I think I'm pretty sure it's Belichick, offered Garoppolo $17 to $18 million a year for a new contract. And Garoppolo and his agent, and I can't really say, like, it was Garoppolo who Garoppolo who turned it down, because I know that it's pretty much agents talking to lawyers when they're trying to discuss contracts. So the agent turned it down. All right. And I'm sure Garoppolo had a say in it or whatever. So they both turned it down, and that's pretty much it right there. They really never revisit talks. And maybe the fact that Tom Brady and Garoppolo have the same agent, like, obviously that agent is going to try and help out Brady more than he will Garoppolo, because Brady's going to be making him more money. So obviously now with that happening, they, I guess, like, this whole situation is kind of a mess, honestly. So just, like, getting back to the whole trade thing, it's, Belichick wanted to, like I said, Belichick wanted Garoppolo to start next year. Brady's unhappy about that. Then Robert Kraft sees that, and Robert Kraft told Belichick to get rid of Garoppolo because he wasn't in the team's future plans. All right, so that's what happened. So Belichick pretty much has no choice but to trade Garoppolo. So that's why they traded him at the deadline. Because if you remember, they had Garoppolo and Brissett, and both played really well last year when Brady was out for those four games. All right, so yeah, they played well, and they got rid of Brissett. So we're thinking, you know what? All right, Garoppolo's the future again. Because it doesn't make sense to get rid of two solid backup quarterbacks when you know Tom Brady's getting older, and you know you're gonna need someone to take over for the future. So they got rid of Brissett. We're like, okay, they're gonna keep Jimmy Garoppolo. And once the trade deadline comes, they get rid of him to San Francisco for a second round pick. And one thing I don't understand about that is the Cleveland Browns wanted him. And it was rumored before, like at the time when the Niners traded for Garoppolo, it was rumored that Cleveland offered them first round and second round pick, I think, for Garoppolo was. And obviously, that's a whole lot better than what it'd be for getting a high second round pick from the 49ers for Garoppolo. So obviously, for Belichick to turn down the Browns deal, and I know people like to say Belichick holds a grudge against the Browns and all that, but I don't really buy into that stuff too much. If it's going to make the team better, then Belichick's going to go through with it. But for Belichick to turn down whatever it was the Browns were offering, and I'm almost positive that what the Browns were offering was a lot higher than what the 49ers did. So for the fact for Belichick to turn that down, and then all of a sudden trade deadline comes and they get rid of Garoppolo for a second round pick, that doesn't really make too much sense. And I know that this probably wouldn't have been a big story or anything, that if Garoppolo wasn't playing well for the 49ers, but you know he is, and now it's a big story. So I mean, Belichick, Kraft, and Tom Brady all have tension amongst each other because of the fact that Robert Kraft got into pretty much Belichick's business and told him what to do. And I know Belichick likes to run his things a certain way, and he wants the owner to be the owner and coach to be the coach. And obviously, since Belichick is running the show with player personnel, he makes player decisions. But for the fact of Tom Brady to go and show that he's upset because Garoppolo is going to be taken over, and Robert Kraft's like, Tom Brady is my boy, so obviously I'm going to have Belichick get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the big problem right here. And that's where we are now. I mean, it's pretty much, like I said, Patriots released a joint statement saying that it's not true, the story is not true or anything like that. But I mean, that just tells me that, you know what, that it is true. And Colin Cowherd, like about a month ago, was talking about this whole situation on his radio show. He was talking about how Belichick wanted to trade Tom Brady instead of Garoppolo, because obviously Garoppolo is the future. It's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady says he wants to play till he's 45, but I just don't see that happening at all. And yeah, I just don't see that happening. So obviously you're going to want to go with Garoppolo, and honestly, keeping Garoppolo instead of Brady would have been the right move. But obviously Robert Kraft stepped in, said, nah, get rid of Garoppolo. And that's what they did. So that's the biggest problem here. And then now it's not known if Belichick's going to be back next year. I mean, that's pretty much the thing in question, is whether or not Belichick will come back next after this year, or if he'll be back for one more season and then leave after that. Because right now the Patriots, they have no backup plan if Brady gets hurt. Brian Hoyer is not, like, you throw Brian Hoyer in there, Patriots are not going to play well. All right, I'll tell you that much. So they have no backup plan right now. Obviously, they're going to have to go and get a quarterback in the draft. But I'm not sure Belichick wants to be around for that, just because of the fact that Robert Kraft took over a job where that's Belichick's job to do. And one thing that that's been argued, I guess talked about over the years is, you know what, who's the reason for this Patriots dynasty? Is it Tom Brady or is it Bill Belichick? I've always been on the side where, you know what, it's a little bit of both. They both need each other. But if you think about it, Bill Belichick, like you need a solid team to win a Super Bowl, right? That's just facts right there. You need a solid team. Doesn't matter how good your quarterback is or how good your wide receivers are. You need a solid team. You need good players all around. And Belichick has always had a good system and system of getting rid of players at the right time and bringing in players at the right time. So he's always had a solid team around Tom Brady. And like I said, I'm not trying to take anything away from Tom Brady or anything like that. But I just feel that Bill Belichick is the reason why the Patriots have been good for so long. Obviously, Tom Brady is one of the better quarterbacks of all time, but I feel like it comes down to more Belichick's coaching and system, and that's why they've been good for so long. So once Belichick leaves, the Patriots aren't going to keep this whole dynasty thing going. That's it. Once Belichick is gone, the Patriots are done. Even if Belichick leaves after this year and Tom Brady's still there, the Patriots will not be as good as everyone, as good as they've always been, because they're going to be losing possibly guys like Josh McDaniels, Matt Patricia, and say Bill Belichick goes, then Patriots got to start from scratch. They need a whole coaching, the whole coaching staff. And Tom Brady, even if they were to bring in some new guys, Tom Brady's not going to be able to save that team. So, I mean, if Belichick leaves, the Patriots are done. That's all I got to say right there. Like I said, Belichick is what makes this team go round. And without him, this team is in trouble. So they better hope he doesn't leave. But if he does leave, I mean, that AFC East could be up for grabs. So we'll see how it all ends up. I mean, the story just came out today on Friday. So, I mean, there's going to be a whole lot more information that comes out, I feel. So we just got to wait and see what this whole situation and see how it all ends up. But it's going to be an interesting next couple of months. But that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to be talking about the playoff games going on this weekend, talking about Chiefs, Titans, Jags, Bills, Falcons, Rams, and Saints, Panthers. And then later on in the show, we'll be talking about the current head coaching vacancies, talking about pros and cons of each, and then ranking them after that. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Back to the GSMC Football Podcast. In that last segment, we talked about the whole New England Patriots situation and how it's, I mean, like this might be honestly the biggest story of the year. Maybe the biggest story in the last 5 years. Because I know there's been other big stories that I'm probably not thinking about, but as far as like NFL, like the NFL goes, I mean, this is probably, like I said, the biggest story in quite some time, because it's the New England Patriots. Everyone thinks that everything like just in New England just goes perfectly fine. They know they have their good system, but I think now the Eagles are starting to come out, especially Tom Brady's with the whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing. Now that he's traded, he doesn't really have to worry. And in the article I was talking about from ESPN, one Patriots staffer that was interviewed by Seth Wickersham, the guy who wrote it, he said that it came down to Brady versus Belichick, and Brady won since Garoppolo got traded away. And I think this is what's going to be the thing that pushes Belichick out, and this is going to be the end of the dynasty. So, I mean, like I said, the story just came out today, which is Friday. So there's going to be a whole lot more information that comes out. I mean, it just can't be. And ESPN publishes this, and then that's that. They just publish a story, and then they never talk about it again or anything like that. There has to be more stuff coming out, all right? And even now, this is a big story to come out right before the playoffs. I mean, if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, dude, I'm licking my chops right now. I'm thinking, you know what? They're weak right now. All right, they got this out. This is going to be a big distraction. And now let's go hit them in the mouth. Now, I mean, for this story to come out, and maybe I'm just overhyping it a little bit, but obviously there are some problems going on behind the scenes in New England, and this is going to be something that is going to affect them if it's a true story. Like, if this is a real story, sources are all real and all that, because, I mean, I'm only saying that because the Patriots came out and, like, denied the story and said it wasn't the case or anything like that. So I'm only talking hypotheticals now since the Patriots came out and said it wasn't. So let's say this story is real and everything about it is true. Then there's some problems going on behind the scenes, and this is not what a playoff team needs. And a team like Pittsburgh might be like, New England gives off the impression that they're well run, they have no problems. Pittsburgh is the team that actually does that though. They're the team, they know how to run an actual football team, all right? There's no egos in it. They have it right. The Pittsburgh Steelers, okay, that's been the franchise that's been the franchise that you look to emulate. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers, not the New England Patriots. The Steelers have been good since forever, honestly. Okay, with the Rooneys being the owners, they've always brought in good coaches. I think they've only had, what, three or four coaches since 1970 or something like that. I think three coaches, and Cowher, Tomlin. I can't remember who the first one was. But, I mean, the Steelers, that's the real franchise you want to emulate right there. And if, like, I'm the Steelers, I'm licking my chops at playing New England and in the AFC Championship. I mean, that's a couple weeks from now. I'm sure it's going to happen. I mean, I have no doubt Pittsburgh is going to be able to get past whoever they play in the divisional round. Now I'm kind of worried about New England because of the fact that this is coming out, and obviously there are problems behind the scenes, but that's all I got to say about that. Let's talk some wild card weekend playoff games. So we got Tennessee versus Kansas City, we got St. Louis versus Atlanta, we got Buffalo versus Jacksonville, and we got Carolina versus New Orleans. What game do we want to start off with first? Let's go in order. Let's start off with Tennessee versus Kansas City. All right, so Marcus Mariota had the third most interceptions this season with 15, and just pretty much played poorly all season long. Okay, disappointed me in fantasy football. I drafted him. Worst pickup I had all season long. And, I mean, this Kansas City Chiefs defense, this defense forces a lot of turnovers. So I just feel like this is a game built more to Kansas City's strengths than it is to Tennessee's. DeMarco Murray's going to be out of this one, so Derrick Henry's going to be the lead back. And Derrick Henry showed flashes of what he could be. Like, he's... sure, like, you know, he could be a solid running back in the league, but then sometimes he'll have games where he just doesn't play well at all. So I'm not really sure what to think about him being the sole running back going on this weekend. I mean, it's pretty much like a wait and see type of thing with him. And like I said, Marcus Mariota, third most interceptions this season. I mean, how is he going to be able to limit those turnovers against a defense like Kansas City, like I said, where they force some of the most turnovers in the league? It's not something that's really built for Tennessee. Delanie Walker might have a decent game, but I'm not sure those receivers are going to be able to do too much, especially against a guy like Marcus Peters. That's a guy that'll make you think your guy's open, and once you throw to him, he's going to make you pay for it. So we'll see about that. And as far as Kansas City's offense goes, I think Tyreek Hill's going to have a big game. I think Travis Kelce is going to have a huge game right here, at least 100 yards and a touchdown. And I think Alex Smith, I mean, this is pretty much like a prove-it type of postseason for him right here. All right, because obviously Patrick Mahomes, that's going to be the starter next year. If Kansas City loses this game, no doubt in my mind, Alex Smith is going to get cut. Patrick Mahomes is going to be a starter. And even if Kansas City wins and, like, say they face off with a team like New England and they lose there, I still think this is the end for Alex Smith. So he's going to be auditioning for other teams. He's going to want a big money contract, so we're going to see about that. And whoever gets Alex Smith, that's one thing I was thinking about, too, the last couple of days. Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins are looking like to be the big-time free agent quarterbacks that are going to be on the market. Who would I take, Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins? I'm taking Alex Smith 10 times out of 10. I think Kirk Cousins is overrated. I think Kirk Cousins is a decent quarterback, and he could be a quarterback that'll win games in the NFL if he goes to a team in a good situation like Jacksonville. But I feel that Alex Smith all around is the better quarterback, and I'd rather have him a million times over than Kirk Cousins. That's just my opinion. But Alex Smith, like, he's a game manager quarterback, but so is Kirk Cousins. I just don't understand the hype with Kirk Cousins. I mean, he really hasn't done anything in Washington since he's taken over. I mean, I don't even think he's made the playoffs. I remember there were before this season. I mean, he didn't even beat a team over 500 in his career. So, I mean, There's a lot of hype around Kirk Cousins, but I just don't believe it. But going back to the playoff game between Tennessee and Kansas City, I just don't see Tennessee winning this one at all. I think it's going to be all Kansas City in this one. I think they're going to end up winning this game score of like 21-10, 21-13. It's going to be a low-scoring game for Tennessee, and I think Alex Smith is going to do enough to get Kansas City to New England the week after. So I got Kansas City in that one. Next game up is probably the most intriguing one to me between the Atlanta Falcons and Los Angeles Rams. I'm not going to make my pick right now. Actually, let me talk about it a little bit. All right, so the Falcons, I mean, this game is going to come down to whether or not the Falcons offense shows up. If the Falcons offense shows up, then they're going to win this game. I mean, obviously, like, I'm not saying anything like enlightening or anything like that. It's just, it is what it is, you know? Atlanta's offense just really hasn't looked good all season. I mean, they did pull out 10 wins, but the defense really doesn't give up too many points. And this is going to come down to whether or not Atlanta's offense shows up and whether or not this moment is going to be too big for Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, Sean McVay, and all the rest of those young Ram players on that team. Because, I mean, like I said, this is going to be the first playoff game for a lot of them, and Jared Goff has never been in this type of situation before, okay? He's going to be playing at the LA Coliseum. That place is probably going to be sold out. It's a primetime Saturday night playoff game. Game's going to be going on at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. It's going to be under the lights. This huge game right here for the Rams. Probably the biggest game. It is the biggest game that they've had in years by far. So, yeah, it's going to be a big moment for them. And it's like I said, as far as the Falcons go, I mean, if this offense is like playing so-so, like not too good, then they really have no shot. But I think Devontae Freeman's going to play well. Julio Jones could play well, but I think the Rams' defense is going to do well to limit him. So I think it's going to be really, you're going to need Muhammad Sanu to play well. And I think Matt Ryan, he's going to have to look for Sanu and Gabriel in order to help this team get the W. And as far as the Rams go, like I said, I mean, it's going to all come down to Todd Gurley. That's who the offense goes through right there. It goes through Todd Gurley. If he can't run the ball well, then, I mean, you could throw him the ball at the backfield and he's going to do something with it. But if Atlanta's defense limits him, then Rams really don't really have much of a shot. So in this game, I'm going to pick the Falcons. I think they're going to be able to pull it out. I think this offense is going to wake up and they're going to play well. I think the score is going to be around 24 to 17. Yeah, I'm going to go 24 to 17. It's going to be a good game, but Atlanta's going to be able to pull it out. As for this next game, we got the Buffalo Bills facing off with the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is probably the least entertaining game of Wild Card Weekend, and it's going to be very low scoring. I mean, the Bills don't know if LeSean McCoy is going to play, and if he doesn't play, the Bills have no chance. But, like, honestly, even if he does play, the Bills still don't have a chance, really. I mean, he's going to be playing on a hurt ankle. There's no way he's going to be at 100%. He's not going to be able to cut the way he does, and there's going to be some pain there. And as far as Tyrod Taylor goes, I mean, he doesn't have the receivers good enough to compete against guys like A.J. Bouye or that's a cool name right there, A.J. Bouye. Yeah, he doesn't have the receivers to go up against guys like that and Jalen Ramsey, so, I mean, I really don't see where the offensive production is going to come from. I mean, that defensive line for Jacksonville is probably the best in the league right now. Same with the linebackers. They got a good linebacking core. Miles Jack leading them. Really happy Miles Jack was able to stay healthy this year, too. He's going to be one of the better linebackers in the league in a couple of years. I have no doubts about that. So, I mean, yeah, Buffalo's offense, I mean, they're not going to be able to score points in this game, and I just don't trust them at all. I mean, even with Jacksonville's offense, it's going to come down to Leonard Fournette. Blake Bortles is playing terrible these last couple of games. I don't think he's going to pick it up in the playoffs, and there's no reason to think why he will. I mean, after this season, I was talking high about Jacksonville. I was like talking them up, talking about how, you know what, they might be able to make the AFC Championship, probably play for a Super Bowl, but these last couple of games has brought me back down to earth for them. I just really don't think that, don't think with Blake Bortles playing quarterback, they're going to be able to do enough on offense to win games. Because, like, Blake Bortles, like, the way he was playing this season, like, he wasn't playing well or anything like that. He just wasn't playing poorly enough to where it could hurt him. And these last couple of games, he's pretty much taken it out of the team's hands and pretty much lost the games for them. Remember, he threw a terrible back-footed interception against the Titans last week where there was, like, three Titans defenders waiting for the ball and only one Jags receiver. So, I mean, Blake Bortles just really has to find out a way to just not be as bad as he is. And Leonard Fournette's just going to have to lead this offense and pretty much run the ball as much as he can. And I think he'll go for at least 100 yards in this game and pick up a touchdown. So I think it's going to be enough for the Jags, but I just don't think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm going to go final score. I'm going to go 14 to 3 or 14 to 7. You know what? No, I'm gonna go 17-3. I really don't believe in Buffalo's offense that much. They're only gonna score 3 points in that one. So yeah, I'm gonna go 17-3. But it's going to be probably two touchdowns from Leonard Fournette, and hopefully Blake Bortles doesn't throw too many picks in that one. So like I said, not going to be a fun game to watch, but I got Jacksonville 17-3. All right, last game of the wild card weekend. We got the Carolina Panthers facing off with the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans already swept the season series between those two. This season played pretty well, played extremely well against the Panthers. And on the sports podcast I did earlier, I made my pick for Carolina, and I think I'm going to do that again on this podcast. I think Cam Newton's going to have a big game. He's a big-time player who plays well in these big games. And I think Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly are going to do well to limit Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. I think Kuechly and Thomas Davis are the best linebacker duo in all the league. Let's see, is there anyone else better? I don't think so. I think by far it's got to be Kuechly and Thomas Davis is the best duo. So yeah, I think they're going to do well to limit those two. And I mean, Drew Brees, he really hasn't had to win a game so far on his own this season. And if Kamara and Ingram aren't playing well, then he's going to have to look for Michael Thomas. And I'm sure Michael Thomas will get open and get some be productive in this game. But how well do you think Ted Ginn and Coleman are going to play on the other side playing receiver? I just don't see. I'm really making this pick just solely thinking that Thomas Davis and Kuechly are going to be able to limit those two running backs. Because if they can't, then the Saints are going to win this game easily. But I'm thinking right here that it's going to be Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly that are going to limit them. So I got Carolina in this one. I'm going to go. I think Cam Newton's going to score at least three touchdowns in this one, whether it be a couple through the air and one rushing, or two rushing and one through the air. I think he's going to come up with three touchdowns in this game. So I'm going to go Carolina 24-14. Yeah, I got Carolina 24-14 in this one. So just to recap my picks, I got the Chiefs win, I got the Falcons winning, I got the Panthers winning, and I got the Jaguars winning. I might change that Panthers pick, but I'm not sure yet. That's a tough one to make right there. But that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to be talking about the current head coaching vacancies, and then talk about pros and cons of each vacancy, and then we'll rank them after that. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. And that last segment, we were just talking about the wild card games going on this weekend. Just to recap, I have the Chiefs beating the Titans, the Falcons beating the Rams, the Panthers beating the Saints, and the Jaguars beating the Bills. I mean, in that Tennessee Titans and Chiefs game, I think Marcus Mariota is going to turn the ball over way too much, and that Chiefs offense is going to take advantage of that once they get the ball back. And as far as Buffalo and Jacksonville goes, Buffalo's not going to be scoring too many points. So, I mean, they really ain't got no shot in that game. And then as far as Atlanta and L.A. goes, I got Atlanta on that one because I just think it's because they've been there before. They know what it takes, and I think that offense is finally going to wake up. And as far as Carolina and the Saints go, I mean, the Saints already beat them twice, third time's the charm, right, Carolina? So I think Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis are going to be able to limit Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, and that's going to be the biggest factor as to why they win. So I got those teams. As for this segment, though, we're going to be talking head coaching vacancies. So the Raiders did have a vacancy, but they just filled that up by signing John Gruden. We'll talk about him and him going to the Raiders and that contract that he got in the next segment. But for this one, like I said, we're going to be talking about the Bears. We'll talk about the Lions, the Giants, the Colts, and the Cardinals. Talk about each of those jobs. Talk about the pros and the cons. And then rank them after that for the most desirable job to go to. So let's start off with the Cardinals. Bruce Arians left. He retired. He's probably going to be back, I think. Not with the Cardinals, but I think after a couple of years, he'll be back coaching. Because I think he's just too good of a coach to leave right now, you know? But, yeah, the Cardinals, Carson Palmer retired. Larry Fitzgerald, next year is probably going to be his last unless he's got another year on that contract. But he's got no more than 2 years, I think, left in the NFL. David Johnson had a season-ending injury. Then you got Adrian Peterson still there. Not sure if they're going to bring him back. I mean, other than Larry Fitzgerald, that receiving core just really isn't that good. Probably got to fix some things up on the O-line, and that defense is getting older. So, I mean, there's really not too much. Like, there's not – like, whoever goes to – whoever gets hired by the Cardinals, like, that's going to be a full-blown rebuild right there. I don't think that – that unless they because they're going to need a quarterback, obviously, and they might have to trade up for one. I'm not sure where their draft position is right now, but they're just going to have to just hit on a quarterback. Like, whoever they get is just going to have to be able to be thrown in there and just be able to do the job. Because if not, I mean, this is going to be a long rebuild. It's going to take a few years, I feel. I mean, you got one of the best running backs in the league in David Johnson. So if he comes back, when he comes back healthy, I mean, we're not sure if he's going to be the same guy. I think he tore his Achilles or blew out his knee. I can't remember exactly, but I mean, either one of those injuries are hard to come back from as a running back. But like I said, you still got Adrian Peterson back there, but his play is starting to go down a little bit. So, I mean, this is probably... This isn't really a job that other coaches are going to want, I feel. I just feel like you're not really set up to win in this one. As for like a team like Chicago, let's talk about them now. I mean, they have their franchise quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, all right? They got Jordan Howard, one of the better running backs in the league. Top six for sure, I feel. Probably top five. He played really well this season. And that defense is young and ready to go. You got a guy like Eddie Jackson playing safety. He's been playing well. Then the defensive line has been solid this season. You got a guy like Kyle Fuller too, who's been playing well at the cornerback position. So yeah, your defense is ready. It's young. It's ready to go. Like, this is the team. If I was a coach, I'd want to go coach the Bears. All right, because all they got to do in the draft is take Calvin Ridley. And like, for the Bears, in order for them to be successful, they're going to need to hire a solid coach, and they're going to need to get a solid couple receivers out in the draft. And I feel like if they get Calvin Ridley, then this team is going to be ready to go next season. And I just feel like this is probably one of the better options to go to if you're a head coach looking for a job, because, I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to a place with a young quarterback who looks like he could be the future of the team? Then you're already set at the running back position, so, I mean, you don't really need the quarterback to do too much and during the season. You don't really need him to put the team on his shoulders. And like I said, in the draft, you can pick up a couple of receivers that can do the job. Like I said, Calvin Ridley, that's the number one guy for Chicago right there. They have to get him. And there's really no excuses for it. They have to figure out a way to get him, whether it's trading up to get him or whether he falls to him. But they're going to need to get him. And like I said, that defense is ready to go. This team is set up to win games next year. They could be, if they pick up the right coach and do well drafting receivers, this could be a team who's fighting for the wild card next season. Like, Chicago is right there. They didn't play well, good football this season. But I feel like that's just more because John Fox just really didn't know how to bring Mitch Trubisky in and pretty much help integrate him into the NFL. And like I said, those receivers, really, you can't do too much with him. So I just feel with a good coach and a solid receiving core in the draft, this team is ready to start winning games. So we'll see about that. Let's talk about the Colts. Pro, you got Andrew Luck hopefully coming back healthy. Con, Jim Mercer is your owner. Con, your defense is bad. Con, you have no running back. Con, you need you need a second receiver. Con, your offensive line isn't that good. Pro, Jack Doyle with Andrew Luck could be one of the better tight ends in the league next year. So there's really, unless you're a coach who like really wants to work with Andrew Luck, I just don't see Indianapolis being a real desirable spot, honestly. I just think Jim Irsay just tries to be like Jerry Jones too much, tries to be in the spotlight way too much and act like he's a football guy when he's not. You're just an owner. All right, Jerry Jones knows football, all right? He's been doing it for quite some time. He's been the GM of the Cowboys for a while. He knows what he's doing. But as far as Jim Mercer goes, I just wouldn't want to work under Jim Mercer. The guy, I'm trying to be nice right here. I'm not even going to say much. I'll just say that. I just wouldn't want to work under Jim Mercer. Andrew Luck, working with him as my quarterback might push me the other way, but like I said, that team's got too many problems. Like I said, they need to fix up a bunch of spots on the defense. They need a second receiver, and they need to finally get a running back. Frank Gore is a solid running back, but his best years are behind him, so they need a guy to go in there and possibly take his job.
And like I said, that offensive line needs to get fixed up too. But look, you got Jack Doyle. I mean, he's going to play well with Andrew Luck next year. And yeah, next year I'm definitely drafting Jack Doyle, though, if Andrew Luck comes back healthy. He's going to have a big breakout year. I'm no doubt about that. But yeah, just really not too many pros with the Colts job other than coaching Andrew Luck. Then there's the New York Giants. And I'm not too sure what to think about this open job right here. All right, because you got Odell Beckham Jr., who probably isn't going to come back to play until he gets a contract, like a big money contract. And I think he still deserves it, even with the injury. I mean, he's one of the best receivers in the league when he's out there, obviously. And so you got that. And then I think you got to, like, the biggest problem with the Giants job is that you're going to have to go in there and you're going to have to completely change the culture. I mean, that place was toxic. Okay, you have Eli Apple, and there's a big old thing about him just not being a good locker room teammate or anything like that. Just pretty much Landon Collins came out and called him a cancer. After that, Collins came out, apologized, said he doesn't think of Eli that way. And if Eli needed mentorship or whatever, that Collins would be there. But Collins, when he said that he meant it, there's no doubt in my mind that he meant it. So, I mean, you got Eli Apple out there. I think they're going to have to get rid of him in order for them to fix that locker room. Because obviously if the guy is just that poor out there, he's just not that good of a team player, then you can't have him out there because obviously he's going to cause problems. He's only a second-year player, I believe. So, I mean, do you really want that right now? And I feel like I've been reading, too, about that whole Eli Apple situation. I've been keeping my eye on it. And it seems like his mom is what's controlling him right now and pretty much having him act out. So, I mean, Eli Apple, you might have to cut off a couple of family members in order for him to get it going. But, I mean, other than that, if I'm the Giants, I'm trading Eli Apple. And you got Eli Manning as a quarterback. They're probably going to end up taking either Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, depending on who the Browns take. And Godspeed to whatever quarterback goes to the Browns, because that's a losing situation right there with Hugh Jackson being the coach. I still can't believe they brought him back. But, yeah, so whatever quarterback the Browns don't take, whether it be Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, that's who the Giants are going to end up with, I feel. And they need a running back. And you got to wonder if Brandon Marshall, he's going to be back next year, but if he's going to be back at the same ability he can be. He's getting older, and we all know as you get older, your play starts to diminish a little bit. So, I mean, the Giants job, I mean, that could be a solid job. I mean, Eli Manning, the perfect thing with the Giants is that whatever quarterback they bring in, they don't need him to start right away, because I think that they're going to keep Eli Manning for the next 2 years, and boom, you could have a guy, whoever you draft, whether it be Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield. I highly doubt they'll take Baker Mayfield. It's going to be quarterback like Darnold, Rosen, or even Josh Allen. But if I'm them, I'm taking Josh Rosen the entire time. So you have a guy like, say you bring in a guy like Rosen, you could have him sit behind Eli Manning. And Eli Manning, that's a Hall of Fame quarterback right there without a doubt. So you have him learn under Eli Manning, and then boom, once Eli Manning's done with the Giants, retires, whatever he does after these 2 years, you have Rosen come in, and boom, he's ready to go. So, I mean, the Giants' job might be one of the better ones also, and then the final team is the Detroit Lions. This is where the Lions, all they need is just to get, they need a running back in the draft, and they just need to hire a solid head coach, and boom, they're in the playoffs. This is a team ready to make the playoffs. They fired Jim Caldwell just because he wasn't getting the right results, so they got to bring in a guy who you know is going to be able to work with Stafford and pretty much lead this team to the playoffs. This is a team that should have been in the playoffs the last few years, and they just haven't lived up to expectations. So, I mean, like I said, Detroit, all they need is just hire a good coach and get a solid running back in the draft, and they're ready to go, I feel. So, I'm not really sure what coaches are out there, though, like what big-name solid coaches are out there for them. They're going to have to hire a coordinator, and I'm not too sure or they're most likely going to have to hire a coordinator unless they're going to get a guy that's been out the league for a while. But I'm not too sure. I mean, there's anyone out there that could do that for them. But like I said, I mean, you got Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Kenny Golladay, who played well this season when he wasn't injured. I mean, the receiving core is ready. You got a top five quarterback in Stafford. Offensive line played well, and your defense is solid. So, I mean, that's probably the most desirable destination. And here, let me rank them right here. At number one, I'd have Detroit, obviously, because of the reasons I just named. They're the team most set up, ready to make the playoffs. Then at number two, I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears. I feel that they're the team most ready to fight for a wild card next year. They're going to win at least 6 games. I have no doubt about that. At least I'm going to go 7 games next season for the Bears. And then after that, at number three, I'd go with the Giants. I mean, if you have Eli Manning there for the next couple of years, you can have a guy like Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold learn under him for a couple of years. Number four, I have the Colts only because Andrew Luck is there. And then at number five, I have the Cardinals. I feel like that team's going to have to go through a full-blown rebuild. So we'll see how they're able to handle it. I mean, if they hit on a quarterback, then they're ready to go. But I'm not sure. I have to double-check where their draft position is. But they're going to need a guy like Like, they might end up with a guy like Josh Allen or someone, but I don't think Josh Allen's going to be that good of a quarterback in the NFL, so we're just going to have to wait and see. But it's actually going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to be talking about the national title game between Georgia and Alabama, and we'll be talking about John Gruden's big contract that he got from Mark Davis. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Football podcast, man. This intro music that we play for the last segment of the football show makes me so sad, man. It's like such a sad intro song. I feel, I mean, it's cool, but you know, it's just my thoughts about it. But yeah, we'll be talking about last segment we talked about the current head coaching openings and ranked them. I had Detroit at number one. That team's ready to make the playoffs next year. They just need the right coach. Number two, I had the Chicago Bears. That team's ready to start winning games next year. They're going to be a team fighting for the wild card, I think, if they get this head coaching hire right and they draft a guy like Calvin Ridley in the draft. I want to see Calvin Ridley go to the Bears so badly. The Bears, I feel like they're so close to being a good team, I feel. And number three, have the New York Giants. You have a guy like Eli Manning there for 2 years, and then have Josh Rosen learn under him, and boom, you got your quarterback for the future right there. I think Josh Rosen's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Obviously I'm jumping the gun right here, but I think Josh Rosen's going to be really good. I think he's by far the best quarterback in the draft. At number four, I had the Indianapolis Colts. You got Andrew Luck there, but you want to go work for Jim Mercy? I wouldn't. And then number five, I have the Cardinals. I feel like that team's going to need to go through a full-blown rebuild in order to get back to what they were. And the team's getting pretty old too, so they're just going to need, like I said, they're just going to have to blow it up. But we'll see how it all ends up. Really hope Chicago and Detroit get good coaches. Those are teams that deserve to start fighting for playoff spots. Or Detroit deserves to be in the playoffs. Chicago needs to be fighting for playoff spots. But for this segment, let's talk about the national championship game. We got the Alabama Crimson Tide facing off with the Georgia Bulldogs in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. What's the name of their stadium? Let me see if I can pull it up on the laptop real quick. I call it the Georgia Dome. I'm going to continue to call it the Georgia Dome even when I find out the name. But that place has a Chick-fil-A in it, man. Probably one of the better stadiums too. And their food is really cheap over there too. So I got to figure out a way to get to that national title game. But this is going to be... it's the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Is New Orleans... Is that still the Mercedes-Benz Superdome? I don't know. I'm going to have to figure that out. But... yeah, this game is going to be a fun SEC title game right here. I love how we did the college football playoffs, so we would end up with all SEC champ title games year after year. And it just simply didn't work out that way. I mean, Georgia and Alabama, they are the best teams in the country. Yeah, so Mercedes-Benz, they sponsor two stadiums in the AFC South, NFC South. But getting back to this championship game, I mean, these are the two best teams in the country by far, I think. Georgia, that I'm still not over that Georgia and Oklahoma game, one of the best games ever, but I'll still always think that Texas versus USC was the best. That game's iconic and nothing will ever top that, I promise you that. But yeah, in this game, I mean, it's going to come down to Alabama's defense versus Georgia's running game, and I don't think Georgia's going to score more than 20 in this game, to be honest. I mean, I think Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb, they're going to play all right. But I just think that this Alabama team, like, Nick Saban's start is beating this drum that they're the underdog. I mean, yeah, you're the underdog when you got all the five-star players on your team and you're in the national championship year after year. But, yeah, go ahead, Nick Saban. Tell us that you're the underdog. And, I know these players believe it, too. I mean, they weren't even for one week they weren't even in the top four in the playoff. I mean, once Miami lost, and who else lost? Auburn. That jumped them right back in there. But Now you got them. They're ready to go in the national title game. But this game is going to be, we're going to, I'm kind of torn on who to, on, I don't know how this game is going to end up. There's only two ways it could end up, okay? It's either going to be like a game in the high scoring, like in the 20s, in the high 20s, or it's going to be a low scoring game where Alabama's defense just makes it fun for no one, whether it's or Georgia's offense or us watching. It's going to be either that kind of game, like I said, a game in the high 20s where they're going back and forth, because obviously these defenses are good enough. I mean, Georgia's not going to give up, what is it, 48 points against Alabama like they did to the number one offense in the country in Oklahoma's. But I mean, a game in the high 20s, that'd be a high scoring game for this one right here. And it's either going to go that way or it's going to go Alabama's defense just does whatever it wants against Georgia's offense and Alabama ends up winning it like 21-14 or something like that. And I think that's probably how it's going to end up. I think Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel, they're going to break off for a couple of good runs. But, I mean, other than that, they're going to be limited. And I don't think Jake Fromm is ready to go up against a team like Alabama and take over. I mean, the guy's a true freshman. I'm pretty sure he's a true freshman. So, I mean, playing in a national title game as a true freshman against Nick Saban and Alabama, I mean, that's got to be a little bit intimidating. And Nick Saban, the biggest, like, another thing, too, is Kirby Smart. He was Nick Saban's defensive coordinator, and he took over the Georgia job this year. And Nick Saban's little minions or whatever you want to call them, the people that work under him, they really don't do well when they go to other teams and they coach against Saban. Saban just runs circles around him. So Georgia's going to have to figure out a solid game plan. Georgia's going to have to be perfect against Alabama in order to win this game. Like, that's literally what it's going to take for Georgia to win this game. They're going to have to be perfect. They're going to have to be ready for whatever Saban throws at them, because you know Saban's already going to be ready for whatever Georgia throws at them. So it's like, I don't see it happening for Georgia, to be honest. I don't think that they're going to be able to pull it out. And my voice is cracked right there. 21-year-old, my voice is cracking. But I don't see a scenario where Georgia wins this game. I can't see it happening, even with it being in the Georgia Dome or the Mercedes-Benz Dome or whatever you want to call it. But Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I'm going to call it the Georgia Dome forever. But I don't see it happening. I don't think Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb are going to be able to do enough for this team to win. Because, I mean, when Georgia switches their game plan up and they start throwing the ball a whole lot more, they play terrible. Like, that was the biggest problem in the first half for Georgia. They were throwing the ball way too much and weren't running the ball enough. So when they were throwing the ball, I mean, Oklahoma had no problem defending, because Jake Fromm, like I said, he's going to be a good quarterback in the next couple of years, but he's just not ready yet. So, I mean, when they do that, I mean, the team just looks lost and they don't play well. But when they run the ball, they play well. But like I said, I mean, Alabama's defense is just that good. This isn't like a NFL type of ready defense right here. So, I mean, I just don't see it happening for Georgia. I'm going to go 21-14 for Alabama winning, maybe even 21-13. Touchdown and a couple of field goals for Georgia maybe. But it's going to be somewhere in that range. Like I said, it stinks for Georgia, but I just think Alabama's going to be national champions. Really have no doubt about it. But we're going to have to wait and see how it all ends up. As for the Oakland Raiders, John Gruden, I've been kind of teasing at his contract. The guy got a 10-year, $100 million contract. $100 million. I was talking to Tate. He runs the MMA podcast, and he pretty much owns the whole podcast network and Golden State BD Concepts. Talking to him about it yesterday, about why like John Gruden would leave the ESPN booth, and like just pretty much why he'd leave that to go to a head coaching job. And like, we couldn't come up with any reason whatsoever. Like, it makes no sense. I mean, ESPN was willing to give him like a lifetime contract to make him the highest paid TV person out there. You're like, dude, why would you leave that job to go coach an NFL football team? And then it gets reported that John Gruden's getting a 10-year, $100 million contract. And it's like, oh, that's why. That's why John Gruden's leaving. Because, I mean, that's crazy. He's getting $100 million. Let me see if I can pull up my laptop real quick. How much NFL head coaches make? Who's the highest paid head coach? But that's unheard of for an NFL head coach to make that much money. $100 million. Are you serious? Mark Davis, you're really giving him that much? That's obviously what it's going to take to get him out of there. But it's just, wow. That's it. That's all it is right there. Just, wow, I can't believe that he's getting that much. And I'm not even, like, honestly, I think that he's coming in to, to just put butts in the seats right now. I don't think that John Gruden is going to be able to be like a solid, like, I think John Gruden, I've been saying that he's Jeff Fisher 2.0, and that might be a little harsh of me, but I mean, I think we're overhyping John Gruden just a little too much, honestly. I mean, it doesn't make sense. All right, so I got it up right now. Pete Carroll is currently the highest paid head coach along with Sean Payton. They're making $8 million a year. And John Gruden, he's going to be making $10 million a year. So, I mean, let me see if I could find out total. I don't know. So, $8 million a year. But either way, John Gruden is going to be making $10 million a year. And, like, let's say John Gruden doesn't work out. Let's say he's only there for a couple of years and he gets fired because it wasn't working and the Raiders aren't as good as they were with Jack Del Rio. Guy's still going to be getting paid. He's got to have, like, a massive buyout on that contract or something, but he's John Gruden, you are a genius, my friend, to just John Gruden, like Floyd Mayweather is the ultimate sports businessman, but John Gruden is right behind him. I'll tell you that much. John Gruden, for him to get $100 million contract as an NFL head coach is just crazy to me, especially at 10 years. Maybe Mark Davis just believes in him that much, but I mean, this is great for other head coaches in the NFL too. Once, like, Mike Tomlin, he needs an extension, or a guy like Andy Reid or Sean Payton, those guys need extensions, they're going to be asking for big money. They're not going to get $100 million extensions, but they're going to be getting a whole lot more money than they usually do. And it's just, I think I'm happy for the coaches, because the coaches really, they get the worst job in all of sports. All right. If your team's not playing well and your players are just bad players, there's nothing you can do about it, doesn't matter. You're going to get fired. If your team's doing well because you're having well coached, doesn't matter. Your quarterback's going to get the praise. Look at Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But, this is good for the NFL head coaches. But, I mean, I just can't believe that John Gruden's getting this much money. But it's gonna take a lot for John Gruden to fix that Raiders team. In this draft, they're going to need to spend it all pretty much on defense and pretty much get these picks right. They have to get every single one right, I feel, at least more than 75% of their picks right on defense, because if not, this team's not going to go anywhere without a solid defense. I mean, you got Khalil Mack, but you need 10 other guys out there. Sean Smith was all right, I feel, but I didn't really get a chance to watch him the entire season. And as far as the offense goes, it's not known if Michael Crabtree is going to be back. Amari Cooper just had one, like, a terrible year. I don't know what happened to him. Going to need a running back. Marshawn Lynch isn't the guy to be the starting running back for that team. And that offensive line just needs to play better than last year. And you got to figure out what went wrong with Derek Carr this year. I feel like it had to do more with his back being injured, because he came back after missing a week with a fractured back. So they're going to need to figure that out. But it's going to be interesting to see, man. I mean, this is unprecedented for an NFL head coach to get a $100 million contract. So we'll see how. It's going to be fun times the next couple of years in the NFL. You're going to see coaches getting paid a whole lot more, and you might see the Patriots dynasty fall. So stay tuned for the NFL in the next couple of years. It's going to be really fun, but that's actually going to wrap it up for today's show. Like I said, talking about the Patriots, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick got some real tension going on between them, and it's looking like Bill Belichick might not be back after this year or the year after that. It might be the end of the Patriots dynasty soon, so stay tuned for that. We talked about the wild card games going on this weekend. I got the Chiefs, Jags, Panthers and Falcons winning, and we talked about the current best head coaching vacancies. I got Detroit being the most desirable job, then Chicago right after that, then at number 3 the Giants job, at number 4 the Colts job, and then at number 5 the Cardinals job. And for this segment, I made my pick for the national title game. Talked about how Alabama's going to pull out the win there, and we talked about John Gruden's big contract. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show. We're going to be back Monday. We'll talk a little bit more about the college football game going on, talk about the wild card games that happened, and maybe there's more information coming out from this whole Patriots story that'll come out. So it's going to be a fun show Monday. So stay tuned till then. Once again, this is the GSMC Football Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Tapia. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.